Well, I am so glad all of you are here this morning. As I mentioned earlier, I'm Dennis, one of the co-pastors here at Garden City. This morning, we are returning to a conversation that we started several weeks ago as part of our series, Shepherds of the Kingdom. This week, we are beginning together to, as a community, to appoint elders. So, we've existed as a church for 3.5 years, and we have had elders who function in a particular role. We've called that our Servants' Council. And our Servants' Council has been predominantly focused on the organizational management of Garden City. They have been the organizational and financial stewards, the governance stewards of our church community. And over the past several months, we have reached the point of recognizing that we need to expand that team of elders and that we need to specifically be including people who will step into what we're calling more of a serving elder role, people who will serve, who will teach, who will help provide care as part of the church. And this will expand our eldership team from currently 6 to roughly 10. And so as we are in this season and as we are kicking all of this off together, what we're going to do today is we're going to just remember together what we talked about in the Shepherds of the Kingdom series. And in many ways, this, I guess this isn't a perfect analogy, but it is the analogy I have. This is like the review before the test, okay? Where your teacher gets you all together and says, remember all the things we've been talking about for the past few months. Okay, later today we're going to take a test, so let's make sure we're all prepared for it. It's not actually a test. It's not like you can get things wrong on this, but I wanted to just take this time to make sure that we're all on the same page before we enter into this season as a church family. That got really loud. So as we start into this, I just wanted to take a moment and see, and we would pray together as a church community. So let's just pray real quick. Jesus, we believe that we are entering into a new and important season in our church where we're going to be expanding our elder team, where we're going to be inviting more people to be spiritual leaders in this community, shepherds of your kingdom people. And so, Jesus, pray that this would be a time where through our conversation this morning, we might find unity, that we might find alignment, that we would understand together what we are doing, the folks that we will be nominating. And Jesus, we just pray your spirit to be with us, guiding and leading this whole process. It's no secret that the church right now, in many ways, has a credibility crisis when it comes to leadership. In many ways, in our culture and in our society, church leadership is not as trusted as it should be. And so, Jesus, we don't take lightly this work that we are about to do. We pray that you would be with us, that you would be near to us, that you would guide us, that we would be humble and wise, and that you would lead us communally to the people that you are calling into this role. So Jesus, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for guiding and leading us. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
First time elders are mentioned in the Bible is in Exodus. And it's an office introduced to Moses, not by God, but by Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. It's this scene you might remember where Jethro observes Moses adjudicating all of these disputes between God's people. And Jethro sees all of these people waiting all day long for Moses to get around to hearing their case and then issuing rulings. And it's then that Jethro says to Moses, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." And it's from this story, the way that Jethro advises Moses, the way that Moses then responds to it, the roles that we see Moses appoint these elders into, that we can draw three conclusions about who elders are supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. Elders are supposed to be people of character who help share the burden of leadership amongst God's people and enable God's people to thrive and flourish. If we follow Moses and the Israelites into the wilderness of Paran, we find them complaining about not having any meat to eat. It's a scene that reveals just how heavy the leadership burden is that Moses is carrying. If you were with us a few weeks ago, I actually pointed out the fact that this is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament because Moses acts a bit ridiculous. This is the place where Moses ultimately looks at God and says, like, if this is what it's going to be like leading your people, just kill me now. And so Moses, carrying the weight of this leadership, goes to God, and God tells Moses to gather 70 of Israel's elders. And specifically, God wants Moses to gather 70 elders who are known for their effective and capable leadership amongst God's people. And then God says to Moses in Numbers chapter 11, verse 17, I will come down and speak with you there. Once Moses has gathered all the elders, God is saying, I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you, Moses, and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. At this point in the story of God's people, the Holy Spirit is not readily available to all people. Joel's prophecy, it's not fulfilled until we get into the book of Acts. And so right now, the Holy Spirit is only dispensed by God to certain people for certain functions for certain times. The Spirit only rests on the people that God specifically gives the Spirit to. And it's here that we see that the Spirit is a needed and necessary component of shepherding God's people. The idea here is that human beings are capable of leading out of their own power, out of their own skill, out of their own talent. And yet that's not God's design for his people. God's design is for the leaders of his people to be empowered by the Spirit. Which means then that elders are supposed to be people of character who share the burden of leadership amongst God's people, enable God's people to thrive and flourish, and are empowered by the Spirit for their role. If we move then to Deuteronomy 16, we get some more instructions on elders. This is in Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 through 20. Appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the innocent. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. So what's clear here is that elders are called to make decisions amongst God's people that align with God's heart. They're supposed to actively pursue what is good and ensure people are treated justly. So if we put all three of these passages together, we can see that elders are supposed to be people of character who share the burden of leadership amongst God's people, enable God's people to thrive and flourish, are empowered by the Spirit for their role, are doers of righteousness and justice, and shepherds that point God's people towards covenant faithfulness. By the time we get to Jesus and his ministry, Israel's elders have become part of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish body that is charged with resolving disputes amongst God's people. It's not a perfect analogy, but it's an analogy that helps create structure and context. We can think of the Sanhedrin in some ways analogous to the Supreme Court in the United States today. In a sense, these elders are still filling the role that Moses invited them to all the way back in Exodus, but now they're doing it as part of the Jewish religious establishment. The implication is that Israel's elders have become members of the Jewish religious elite, the establishment, and as such have become corrupt leaders who are more interested in holding on to their power, position, influence, and wealth at all costs, as compared to truly shepherding God's people in a way that is marked by God's character and ways. But rather than abandon the role altogether, which would have made sense in some ways for the early church to recognize the way that this role of elder had been so corrupted amongst Jewish society, rather than just jettison it completely, the early church restored it and reoriented it under the leadership of the Spirit, bringing the role of elder back under and into alignment with the divine purpose and direction that God had given to it in the Old Testament. Even though Israel's elders may have lost the people's trust, the apostles knew that the church still needed faithful guides, teachers, and guardians. And at least in the New Testament, I think the clearest description of how elders are supposed to lead God's people is found in 1 Peter. There, the Apostle Peter writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Peter is instructing the elders of the churches throughout Asia Minor that their way of living and leading should map onto Jesus' way of living and leading. That in a sense, when the people look at the elders' lives, they should see Jesus' life in the flesh. And if we bring Peter's writing and teaching together with the witness of the Hebrew Scriptures, we can see that elders are supposed to be willing shepherds, teachers, and leaders of God's people who are Spirit-empowered, examples of Jesus' character and ways, marked by integrity, servant-heartedness, and humility. It feels worth mentioning that none of these identifiers or descriptors of elders has anything to do with their public charisma. It has everything to do with their character and heart, that who they are in Christ and before Christ. All of that was the first week of our series, Shepherds of the Kingdom. In the second week of the Shepherds of the Kingdom series, we built a biblical theology of women. And as a church, we established a biblical theology of women as co-equal spiritual leaders amongst God's people. And it's worth restating here as we enter into this season of our church where we are going to be nominating and appointing elders, that it is my belief, it's Pastor Shaq's belief, and it's the conviction of our servants' council that God designed and intended women to be full and honored co-laborers in his mission and fully empowered leaders amongst his people. From Genesis through the New Testament, we see God, then Jesus, than the early church empowering women. We see women like Eve, Deborah, Huldah, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, Junia, Philip's daughters, the Samaritan women, the Samaritan woman, Priscilla, and Phoebe, all playing vital and essential roles amongst God's people. We see them as co-equal partners in building his kingdom. And we even see in Paul's letters one of those, in the book of Acts, one of those women pulling aside with her husband a really gifted young teacher. And the way that scripture passage is written is though she is the one who is primarily correcting his theology. And that's because we see women as throughout the New Testament depicted as willing shepherds, teachers, and leaders who are spirit-empowered examples of Jesus' character, who are also marked by integrity, servant-heartedness, and humility, all of which happen to be characteristics and qualities of elders. It's why we believe that God has designed women to be leaders in his church and why we will value, empower, and invite women into leadership positions and roles here at Garden City. If you weren't here or didn't get to hear either of these sermons, I would highly recommend you go back and listen to them. In fact, both sermons will be linked in an email that will be showing up into every one of your inboxes this evening at 5 o'clock. You'll receive it, it's scheduled at 5 o'clock. That's why I know you're gonna get it at 5 o'clock. That email is going to include those two sermons, a link to our nominating form, and then some more information about this process that we are all entering into over these next few weeks and months. So all of this brings us to today, where we are starting the process of nominating people who we believe demonstrate and embody these qualities and character traits to be considered for the role of elder. And this is where, if it hasn't already, our conversation will turn a little bit technical. I was honestly joking this week. I was joking with Pastor Shaq that throughout the course of our 3.5 years as a church, we have been the worst at church growth strategies. It's like, hey, we just had Easter, our biggest weekend ever. Let's follow that up with a technical sermon about electing elders. Spend 63 weeks on the book of Acts, you know. That's how you grow a church, folks. But here we are. At Garden City, our elders function in two different ways. And those two different ways are complementary ways. We have what we call administrative elders, which are the people who currently comprise our servants' council. And in fact, our administrators, elders, we met this week on Thursday night for 2 hours. We meet every month throughout the course of the year to provide organizational and financial oversight to the church. This was our agenda on Thursday night, just so you could know how exciting it was. We reviewed our financial report. We went through updates on our lease negotiations with the Northside Partnership Project, the organization that owns the building we're in right now. We reviewed our parental leave policy, and we created some goals for Pastor Shaq and I for the next year. Who doesn't want to be at that meeting? Meanwhile, I'm the guy that's like, I love putting together the financial report. Quick reminder about who is on our Servants Council. It's Laura Dennehy Rodriguez, Chrissy Evans, Jared Cave, Mitch Young, and then both Pastor Shaq and I. In addition to administrative elders, we have what we call serving elders. These are the roles that we're going to be nominating and appointing people into. These elders will serve in a consistent role on one of our ministry teams, including our kids team, our student ministry team, care ministry, worship team, teaching team, communion team, or in any one of our spiritual formation environments. These elders will be on the front lines of our day-to-day, week-to-week ministries. They'll be tangibly serving people and meeting needs that exist in our community. Specifically, the people that we're going to be nominating over to the role of elder the next few weeks will be people who will fill in as serving elders. Now, what I want to do is walk through together the six specific character traits and qualities that we have outlined as a leadership community for who we believe these qualities and characteristics that we believe every elder at Garden City is to embody. Now, in order to do that, we are going to try something new as a congregation, okay? You should see one of these on the chair in front of you. If you hold your phone up to it, you should see a link pop up on your phone. Now, hold your phone up to it. And then when you get that Jonathan Cunningham, our Renaissance man, who decided, church, I love Jonathan Cunningham. Jonathan Cunningham is like, y'all, I'm getting rid of my smartphone. So, is it working? Okay, if you follow that link, that's actually going to take you to our document on elder role and description, so that you can follow along with me. This technology is also something that we're going to begin employing. This is an outcome, just as an aside, it's an outcome of our inclusivity survey where we heard back from over 40 people in our congregation who are neurodiverse. And one of the things that we heard clearly through that survey was that during the sermon, anyone who's not an auditory learner can really drift off. And so one of the things that this community asked for was, is there some way for us to have like some sort of fill-in-the-blank outline that we can use to help us stay engaged as we're going through the sermon? This technology is going to enable us to have that each week as part of our sermon so that you can have those outlines and we can follow along. Tyler, thanks for clapping. That was kind of you. So as we walk through this together, I want to say, we don't have any expectation that any person is perfect. So we don't expect any one of our elders to never make a mistake. Yet, what we're going to talk through are the character traits and qualities we've identified as being of the utmost importance to our faith community. Each of those character traits and qualities map onto the character traits and qualities of elders in the Hebrew Scriptures and the early church. And as we walk through these, I would encourage you to begin to prayerfully consider who you know in our church community that embodies these characteristics and qualities. Allow the Spirit to begin bringing people into your heart and mind that over these next few days and weeks you'll prayerfully consider and that you might in the end choose to nominate as an elder. So, first, integrity. We believe elders are people who are sincere, honest, demonstrating consistent character in every sphere of their life. They're responsible and accountable for their words and actions. An elder is mature both spiritually and emotionally, not given to addictions or idolizations that create dependence on anything other than Jesus. One of the reasons that this is at the top of our list, some of you know this part of my leadership journey, but when I was the associate pastor of a church here in Pittsburgh, I discovered that the campus pastor of this church had been systematically stealing money from our campus for over 6 years. And it destroyed our community. It wrecked people's faith. This leader was incredibly gifted, incredibly charismatic. You put them at the front of the room and they would captivate a room. And yet, their character didn't match the platform. And we saw firsthand what a lack of integrity could do to a community. And so for us, at the very top of this, integrity is the first character trait. Second for us is humility. We believe an elder embraces the roles they've been trusted with, knowing and understanding their gifts, strengths, talents, and weaknesses without any sense of superiority. With quiet confidence, an elder brings a kind and gentle presence wherever they go, secure in who they are as a child of God, and always open to learning and growing. Leaders wash people's feet. They do not lord their position or authority over others. The third trait, faithfulness. An elder demonstrates a commitment to Jesus and an orientation towards growing in him and advancing his kingdom. Their life is marked by steadfast trust in Jesus' unchanging character and deep assurance in his goodness, persevering through seasons of blessing, plenty, and hardship and suffering. An elder roots their life in Jesus through relationship with him and bears good fruit. That last phrase, "and bears good fruit," is really important to us. I am confident many of us have seen and fought, like we know people who will profess faith in Jesus, who will describe how they have lived their whole lives for him, and yet in our current cultural context, we see a lot of those people, the fruit is like hatred and division and polarization and demonization of other people groups. And so for us, we believe faith in Jesus produces good kingdom-building fruit. Fourth is wisdom. An elder exercises discernment by consistently and humbly positioning themselves to listen and be receptive to the Spirit's leading and direction. They demonstrate maturity and understanding in their words, actions, decisions, and relationships. They lead our community in discerning between good and evil, truth and deception, human will, and godly purpose. Years back, I read a book by a pastor named Francis Chan. It was a book that he had written about the Holy Spirit. There's one section in that book that stuck with me. That section of the book was where he was talking about how in American evangelical culture today, he could hire 5 really talented leaders. A wildly gifted musician, a wildly gifted speaker, somebody who is so good at organizing teams, somebody who is so good at mobilizing people into groups. And how he described he could get these 5 people together who are wildly gifted and talented and grow a really large numeric church. And it could all be done because of their gifts and talents and not because of the Holy Spirit. And so for us, we want wisdom to be one of our guiding components. That we discern where the Spirit is leading and we don't lead out of our own power, talents, or skills. Fifth, presence. An elder shows up with consistency to participate in, support, and serve the church body and greater community. They are invested in the flourishing of those around them through approachability, relationship, and time. Just as Jesus spent time with people without a motive of personal gain, an elder sees, listens, and moves towards others. Eugene Peterson, in his translation of the Gospels, I love in the Gospel of John, he writes that Jesus moved into the neighborhood. That's the way that we think about what the role of an elder is, somebody who is present and in relationship, who does life with people. We don't think spiritual leadership is somebody who like just shows up for an hour every 2 months and then leaves, but who is doing life in community. The last one for us is compassion. An elder is someone who allows the feelings and experiences of others to touch their own souls. They are deeply moved by the pain and needs of others. They embrace those who are hurting and participate in relieving others' suffering. So these are the 6 character traits and qualities that we believe our elders should embody. And so as you're thinking and praying and processing today and over the next few days and weeks, these are some of the things that we want to be guiding the people that you think of. Who in our community do you think of when you think of humility, integrity, faithfulness, wisdom, presence, and compassion. So, just to make sure we're all on the same page, this is what the process is going to look like over the next several weeks. This evening, everyone who gets our newsletter will receive an email that includes links to the two sermons from our Shepherds of the Kingdom series, a link to the document that you were just looking at, and then a link to a nomination form where you'll be able to nominate up to three people you believe fit the role of elder here at Garden City. We'll close the nomination period on May 11th, which is 2 weeks from today. Pastor Shaq, myself, and our Servants Council will then spend the next 4 weeks setting up meetings with every person who's nominated. We want to be committed to this process in a way where even if somebody gets just one nomination, we are still going to follow up and meet with them. Every nominee will get met with, likely some more than once, and then based on our bylaws, Pastor Shaq, myself, and Servants Council will pray, discern, in order to identify the people we believe should be elders. We'll then come back to you, our congregation, on Sunday, June 8th. That's when we'll start another two-week period where we as a church pray and discern together about the people that Pastor Shaq, myself, and Servants Council have brought to you. It'll be a period of time where you can ask questions about the process, you can raise concerns about the process if you have any, or if you happen to know something about, and this always feels awkward, but I'll just say it, it's also that thing that you might actually know something about one of the candidates that the rest of us don't know. And that's a place for you to come and say, hey, I feel like this is a thing that you should know about this person before we move forward with appointing them. It gives us an opportunity to sit and talk and explore those types of things. On June 15th, we'll open up a period where every person who calls Garden City their church home can vote on the proposed elders. It'll be a lot like we did several months ago with Servants Council, where you'll indicate yes or no for each of the people we bring to you. Candidates need to receive 2/3 support in order to be approved and appointed into the role of elder. So a candidate needs to receive 2/3 yeses of all the people voting in order to be appointed into the role. And then, on Sunday, June 13th, we'll share the results of the voting with you. And in August, we'll host as one of our worship gatherings an installation ceremony where we officially appoint and pray over the women and men who will become our first serving elders. So, I wanted to end our time together by creating just a little bit of space to do two things. One, we've never done this before, but I'd love to hear questions that you might have. And two, we're going to pray together. So, Shaq, would you come up front with me? And we honestly wanted to just create a few moments. If you don't have any questions, that's great. But also, if you do have questions, we are a church family. We're gathered as sisters and brothers. We're all about to embark on something together. And so we'd love to know if you have any questions, thoughts, or concerns that you'd like to ask or raise at this point.